you, Sarah. We're going to go ahead and move into the question and answer session, which is we have a little less time than usual today, so I'm going to go ahead and bring up the slide again with the presenter's contact information. In the event that we don't get through all of the questions, what we'll also do is probably post them to the Freight Planning listserv, and questions that we don't get to, I can send them to presenters and we can compile a list of responses. So I'll go ahead and get started now with the first question. Let me see here. Anthony, can you describe the efficiency formula or algorithm that shippers get for using rail over truck?
Yeah, basically we've created in our fleet model for trucks a methodology to come up with the efficiency for rail versus trucks, and looking at intermodal basically is what we're really working on there. But it looks at essentially, as you would expect, the tons of freight that are going to be shipped, and you know, comparison between the miles traveled for truck versus rail, and also we include the dray shipment, how much of it would be dray, and it also looks at the fleet. If you're a truck fleet, you know, the efficiency of your trucks overall, and the emissions that based on the years of the trucks in your fleet is also put into the equation. And for rail, we're looking at the type of shipment, if it's going to be a bulk shipment, or if it's looking at intermodal shipments, or in that. You know, you essentially select what type of shipment it would be. And then, you know, we have rail efficiency numbers that are based on data that we've had in the rail regulations we've had in the impact analysis documents. So that the numbers are coming from there in terms of freight efficiency. And that basically, if you put in all those bits of information, you can come out with a projected fuel efficiency savings for an intermodal type transport versus a truck type transport. Does that answer the question?
I think that was good. I think if the person who asked needs any clarification, please feel free to type that in, but I think got to the answer.
Yeah, and we, you know, somebody could always email me or go through your system, and you know, we could document the response. But and I could also point out where in the freight logistic model that exists. But we're also seeing an interest in this from the railroad. So there are a couple of calculator tools that exist out there. The CSXT website has one. Norfolk Southern has another. And we have formed a group with the railroads that are going to look at projecting the actual efficiency of the railroads in their intermodal shipments, especially because they're interested in promoting that to the rest of the industry. And so that is something that's up and coming in terms of what we're doing in the rail sector.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'm going to skip over to a question for Greg now, just so we could try to get a variety of questions here. Greg, has the Maine DOT tried to help develop any new freight railroad intermodal services recently? This person goes on to say, previous attempts at rail intermodal services that were designed to shift trucks off the road and onto railroads weren't successful due to low volumes and short hauls that made these intermodal operations unprofitable for the railroads at that time. What is Maine or Maine DOT thinking about here, and what might you be able to do in your partnership with the railroads?
I talked about some of the specific project associated with our freight rail interchange program at Danville Junction. Actually, the newest intermodal facility is in Auburn, Maine, and is actually the largest container port in the state, and it's an inland facility. It's an intermodal facility. As we invest in improving and enhancing the efficiency of the system, in other words, that bottleneck I talked about improves the shipping time by 2 days. Our hope is that that type of investment is going to cause the business at the intermodal facilities to grow, combined certainly today with the high fuel prices and the high cost of diesel. We actually have, so the newest intermodal facility, we and the federal government actually and the private sector collaborated on. It is doing very well, and business will grow as the system grows more efficient. The second example, there's an intermodal facility that we had helped develop in years past that has been dormant, and the operators, the particular railroads involved, are actually discussing with us reviving it, bringing more equipment in, because the demand is growing due to other investments in the system that have made it more efficient. So the point is they go hand in hand. Unless we can demonstrate to shippers that the system is more reliable and more efficient, we're not going to be able to grow or develop new intermodal facilities. But they're certainly on the horizon based on the experience going through right now.
Okay, great. Thank you. Let's see. This next question here was actually for both Anthony and Greg. How can we get SmartWay Transport shippers to apply for IRAP or similar programs and reward them for their dollar investments or business share investments via SmartWay Transport? I guess, Anthony, I'll ask that to you first, if you have any thoughts on that.
Can you repeat the question?
Sure. How can we get SmartWay Transport shippers to apply for, I believe it's IRAP or IRAP or similar programs and reward them for their dollar investments or business share investments via the SmartWay Transport?
What is IRAP, I guess, is I'm trying to...
I think the questioner was referring to the program example that I used. It was the Industrial Rail Access Program. It's a program where the state puts up half the money for a project that will connect rail or connect shippers to rail.
You know, basically, I think there are opportunities for various railroads to get money in the short lines, especially. There's money available. I think there's $35 billion or something that's been available for a while under Safety Lou, I believe it is. And we've seen very little, in the RRIF program, we've seen very little interest, or there may be an interest out there for accessing these funds, but there are some roadblocks that exist out there that mean that a number of these short line railroads and regional railroads won't apply in terms of paperwork and auditing requirements and things like that. But there are a few of them that have actually gone through the process and obtained considerable funds through that system. And as I said, it's a big pot of money. I think it's generally money that, you know, the feds really have limited funding for. It's supposedly there, but there are some roadblocks into before you can get it. But that's not to say it's not possible to get it. We are trying to work with the Short Line Association at this point to provide better information on that for the railroads, and also to figure out, you know, what the roadblocks are and how we can best get around them so that they could obtain this funding that's available and hopefully will be reauthorized in the future.
Okay, and Greg, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, it's sort of a different approach to the same question in that, and it's actually a question I had. As I understand SmartWay and as it was described, it's the incentive to participate in that type of program is to become associated with it. And for companies and shippers and manufacturers who are looking for that, not only the ability to save money by just being smart, which is what SmartWay is about, it's how do you decrease your consumption and have all those beneficial byproducts, including saving money, but you also get the label, the benefit of being a green company. There are, and I think the question goes to how do you give more financial incentive for a shipper to participate. One concept is, and it's a concept we're playing with at this point, it's very preliminary, but if you look at the cap and trade, the concept of cap and trade, which we're introducing for the electric generation sector, which is being discussed at length in Congress in the context of the climate change bill, cap and trade is a way to provide benefit to people who find a way to reduce their emissions. They basically have access to these credits. So you basically cap emissions, create value in these credits, you reduce your emissions, you now have something of value, you can trade it on the market. You can. So obviously that depends on somebody out there who needs the credits to buy, and there may be industries or shippers that simply for one reason or another can't reduce their emissions. So you have something of value that you can sell, incenting you to reduce your emissions through the practices that are outlined and articulated in SmartWay, and you can get some financial benefit from it. So that may have been what the question was aiming for. In other words, how do you incent more companies to participate in something like this by giving them financial incentive? That's one concept, and maybe I'm way off on what the questioner was after, but it's something we've been thinking about. How do we apply the concept of cap and trade to the transportation sector?
Okay, thank you. Unfortunately, we're just a little bit past 2:30 now, and we're going to have to close out. I know there's still a number of questions that haven't been answered yet. What I'm going to do is compile them together and send them to the presenters and ask the presenters if they would be as kind as to type back the responses to me, and then we'll get the question and answers posted along with the presentation and the recording of today's webinar. I also encourage you to contact the presenters directly if you want to discuss more with them. I apologize we ran out of time. This was a very good seminar today, and I think we had a lot of good information in there. So as I mentioned, we'll get the questions, the presentations, and the recording posted, and I'll send everybody an email when that becomes available. I also want to mention that we're now creating podcasts of the webinars, and those will be available online as well. The next seminar will be held on July 16th, and will be on integrating freight and project selection. And if you haven't done so already, I encourage you to visit the Talking Freight website and sign up for this webinar. The address is up on the slide on your screen, and I also encourage you to join the Freight Planning Listserv if you haven't already done so. So with that, we'll close out. I want to thank all three presenters for great presentations today, and thank you everybody in attendance, and thanks for the great questions that were posted.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I'm going to leave this slide up for a while now so that you could copy down the information. So thank you, everybody. Have a good rest of the day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good?
Yeah. I guess it took a little longer than their practice.
Yeah.
And I think the first guy, Anthony.
He went over.
I think he, you know.